that we pull our van behind. And Sunday we had some antifreeze problems. We had antifreeze all over the parking lot, and I had a radiator problem. And I just want to thank Brother Duncan, and we weren't expecting this. And on our way out here before that, we had a generator break down on the motorhome. And usually when we have a generator breakdown, that's his power, his life support. His batteries, you know, has to be charged, and that's our backup. And when we have generator problems, we have to make sure they're fixed right away. So we're going to have to turn around, and it was about 9 o'clock at night. But we spent till 3:30 in the morning. God put His hand on that on a Friday night. Till 3:30 in the morning, getting that fixed. They stayed and worked on His generator. They came in, Union people. To serve the Lord. They came to serve the Lord. Amen. To do the work. And I think God's so good. But we got here and we had the radiator. And I said, Lord, I'm tired of these mechanical problems. We got it in the shop. And they changed it out. They put the wrong one in. They put the wrong one in. So it was another day. Jacob couldn't come to church. The next day, they got the right one in. And I went to pay for it. And the bill was paid for. And I think this man, Brother Duncan, right here, I know he don't want to hear about it. But God put that upon him to take care of that bill for all of that. And I thank the Lord for the church. He says the church. And I thank the Lord for the church. To step in for this ministry to do. Sometimes it's tough out here. It's tough to serve the Lord, but we know He's good, and we know we depend on Him for everything. He helps us along the way when we're tired and traveling down the road, right, Jacob? And to try to see churches come together and young people to come and get their lives right, and old adults too. It blesses my heart that these young people can come to the house of God. And they can come from all different churches. And they can come together and they can work. They can sing and they can do their part. It blesses my heart, but it also makes me shameful too as an adult. That sometimes us as adult Christians makes me sorrowful because the kingdom. And sometimes we can't get together. We can't get together to serve the Lord. For souls. For souls, nothing else. But for souls. I understand we got so many agendas, but God should come first. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about wherever. We need to reach out. And get together once in a while. Amen. And I said, and people will say, well, it's not good for churches to get together. Baloney. God wants His people together. Yeah, you can go back to your old little, you can go back to your other church afterwards. But we need to get together once in a while. God finds praise in that. He finds honor. He'll touch you. But we got to be ready to serve the Lord. Come together as adults and as youth. One God. Amen. There's only one God. Amen. That's my God that I serve. He takes care of us. And when we're at home, we try to do as much as we can. And when we're on the road, we'll try to reach out as much as we can to communities. It's not about Jacob. It's not about Jacob, but he's going to give it his all. He knows God only gave him 2 years to live. I mean, the doctors only gave him 2 years to live. He knows he's here for a purpose. For souls. That's all that matters. Churches, that's all that matters. We've got to reach out for souls. And I thank you for the brother for the work you're doing. You're getting ready to do. Y'all are getting ready to work into. And all these other churches that are going to take part. God's going to have his hand on you. To change this community. One person at a time. Thank you. I think they're about ready and I ain't going to preach. But I love the Lord and I love that he takes care of us and watches out. Let's have church. And I want to say one more thing about these altars. Brother Cole preached about this morning on these altars. The altars are so dear and precious. From the beginning in the Bibles, they had altars to offer up sacrifice. Not only to offer our sacrifices, but offer sacrifices for others. Pray for others. Pray for souls to be reached. Get a hold of God. These altars are open anytime. And that's why we come to God, to God's house to pray and worship him. Amen. That's it.
Glad to be in the house of God tonight.
I'm glad to be in the house of God tonight. Can somebody say amen? There we go. Thank you, Brother Jeff, for having us again.
This year. Thank you, too. This Baptist Church for allowing us to use the building.
And thank you to Yancey Street Baptist Church for allowing us to use the building. And to all the ones that came. And to all the ones that came. Jake, it may shoot me, but when Joe was talking, and Brother Jeff, we appreciate what your church did for us. And I can say it takes so many to help us along the way. You know, when God said, who will go? Jacob said, send me, I'll go. But there's many that can't go. So they say, I'll send you, Jacob, so you can go. And we appreciate all the support from each and every one that support us because we couldn't do it. Without it, because Jacob's physical body could not do on a continuous basis, and he does this full time, and so we are so appreciative of all the support that we get from each church, and the support of people coming out means so much to us, so we thank you all.
Amen.
How many knows that the name of the devil means to divide?
But
the Bible says where the Spirit of God is,
there is liberty.
And therefore,
if
there is liberty,
there should be unity.
And as long as we come together in one mind and in one accord and worship the one true living God and preach out of the King James Version of the Bible. And I said King James Version specifically for this reason. The reason why we have and believe and preach the King James Version is because it represents unity in the body of Christ. And once we do that, once we get that through our thick skulls, we can change America and the world once again. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 1. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 1. Here we have the love letter
between
a man
and
a woman.
And say, that's a message of our truth, that's an understanding.
secular people look at this and say, that's a bunch of nonsense. I can't understand it. But thank God I can. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I can say that I'm in love with Him. In a spiritual perception. This is Jesus talking here. And the Bible says in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily
of the valley.
Of the valley.
Let us pray. When I was a very small boy, my mother used to have a rose bush on the outside of our house. I remember as a little boy, I used to love to watch the flowers bloom ever so beautifully in the summertime and in the springtime. However, at that age, I didn't like it all that much.
Because every time I had to go out,
the roses were right beside the ramp
of the house. Every time I had to go out, I had to move my left arm. Lest I'd get pricked
by the thorn,
of the rose. And every winter
and fall,
the roses
would always
fade away.
And in the winter time,
as a little boy,
I'd ask my mommy.
I'd say, Mommy,
where are the flowers?
Where are the flowers?
And she would say,
they'll
be back in the summertime.
They'll be back in the summertime.
Not thinking too much of it.
Life went on. Every summer
was the same thing.
Was the same thing.
Every winter,
was
the same thing.
Was the same thing.
As I grew older,
we built a concrete patio
at our house.
At our house. For me to go outside.
Because
I like to go outside.
And play.
And play.
My mom had to get rid of a rose bush.
My mom had to get rid of a rose bush.
And at first I really liked it.
At first I really liked it. But then as I grew to be an older teenager.
And a man.
And a man.
I got to where I
kind of
missed
the roses.
Blooming
ever so beautifully.
In the
summertime.
So
I did some studying.
On roses.
On roses.
And
I got to thinking.
About
Song of Solomon.
Chapter
2.
And
verse 1.
And
I found out
that
roses
are
very common.
And they grow.
And they grow.
In
all parts
of the world.
Of the world.
They
come in a variety of colors.
From
red
to yellow,
to orange.
The
most common ones
are
the red roses.
They
bloom
in
the American continent.
Both
North and South America.
And
the red roses even bloom.
In
Asia.
But
I also found out
that
the ones growing
near
the Mediterranean Sea
around
Israel
are
white
and
pink.
And
I got to thinking about all this.
And
I also realized
when
I was studying
that
roses
are
used
for
two different reasons.
One, they're used for medicine.
One, they're used for medicine.
And they're also,
used
for food.
Used for food.
They
crush
the roses.
The roses.
And they use it.
And they use it
as a spice.
As a spice.
To make honey.
To make honey.
And the seasoning.
And the seasoning.
The different foods.
The different foods.
It
has.
Five outside. Petals.
Five outside petals.
Reminding
us
that
our health
and our medicine,
and our food
only
come
by
the grace
of
God. And then as I looked at all this,
I got to
thinking
to myself
about how even the most beautiful things in life,
even the ones that we take for granted,
almost always
fade away.
Even the most powerful preachers
that preach
the most beautiful,
eloquent
words of life,
like
D.L. Moody
and
Charles Spurgeon
and
George Whitfield. Almost always
fade away.
Billy Sunday
and
Mordecai Hand
used
to preach
in
this area.
But
where are they at?
They
faded away.
Most
of the kids I grew up with don't even know who Billy Sunday is.
They
faded away into the past.
They've
been forgotten about.
Even
some of the powerful churches
have
faded away.
We
see all these empty pews
everywhere.
What happened?
The
people
and
the desire
to
serve the Lord
has
faded away
into
the past.
We
don't live
in the 1900s
anymore.
We
live
in
the 21st century.
Things
fade away.
That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
But the memory is still there. My mother doesn't have the rose bush anymore. It faded away into the past. But I can remember very vividly those roses blooming on the ramp in the color of red. I remember those times, but as much as I want to go back to those times, they always faded away. The things in this life are only temporary. They're not eternal. Even the most beautiful things in this life almost always fade away. But there was a rose. Blooming. Ever so beautifully. And begin to bud. One night. In the small town of Bethlehem. It was pure and white as the snow. I wonder what it must have smelt like. Just the fragrance of the rose caught everyone's attention. The rose began to bud in the house of bread. I wonder what that was to smell like. I wonder what kind of fragrance it had on that blessed night when the angels shouted glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The fragrance caught the attention that nobody thought it would catch. But the shepherds came and beheld the rose. And then the high priest, the wise man. The wise man beheld the rose. And then I'm feeling this. And then the prophet Simeon, after he beheld the rose, he said, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen. Can I just say it the way I want to say it? For my eyes have beheld the rose of Sharon. And then the prophet Anna said, she called for all the people. She sought. Who sought salvation? She said, I have found the rose. Then unfortunately, after the rose was just starting to bud, a wicked tyrant by the name of King Herod tried to cut down the rose before its time had come.
And so his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, had to uproot their beautiful rose. And they gently carried it down into Egypt. And there they replanted the rose in Egypt near the Mediterranean Sea. And there it began to grow and bloom and blossom in Egypt. Egypt needed a rose after being destroyed by the plague of Egypt and Alexander the Great and Cleopatra and Julius Caesar. Egypt needed a rose because once they saw the rose, they knew there was hope for the future. And then, two years later, they found out that the people who tried to cut the rose were dead. And so, once again, the parents uprooted the rose one more time and carried it back to Nazareth. And there they planted it. And there they would nurture and care for the rose. And then at the age of 30, the rose was finally in full bloom. How he bloomed. And all people were drawn to the rose. They wanted what he had. They were drawn to it. Like we are today. Drawn to the rose in a floor shop. They were drawn to that rose. They wanted the healing. They wanted the comfort and the peace and the joy that they so desperately longed for. They wanted to have a piece of the rose. But the rose said, if ye reject me, then ye have no part of me. It's either all of me or none of me at all. You cannot have both. And sadly, says that many forsook him. And Jesus, the rose, looked at his disciples and said, will ye also go?
And I like Peter's response.
I like Peter's response.
Lord, to whom shall we go?
Lord, to whom shall we go?
For thou and thou alone,
and thou alone
hast the words,
has the words
of eternal life. There's only one rose. And
I've never seen a rose.
So beautiful.
So beautiful. He was the fairest
of
10,000 and thousands of thousands. And then, 3 years later, his enemies
surrounded him
and encompassed him
like the
bees that were described in Psalms 118. They surrounded him. See if they could but taste of the nectar
that came flowing
off of him.
And sadly,
his enemies came
and encompassed him.
They wanted
to destroy him.
They
found him.
Where a rose should be. They found him
in
a garden. And there they plucked the rose out of the garden. And they swarmed around
him.
And they took him. And they trampled
him underfoot.
Like he was nothing.
And it was at that time.
Fall
had come.
And winter was nigh. And they still were not saved.
It was at that time. The once white rose. Turned.
Crimson red. And they took the rose. And after a lengthy trial, they found him guilty for no reason at all. And they took the rose.
And they plucked his beard.
As if it were nothing.
But a petal. That fell off the rose. And they took him. And they beat him. And they whipped him.
And they mocked him. So much so that he was unrecognizable. Yet it says in Isaiah that for every stripe that he took on his back, by his stripes we are healed. And they beat him. And with every whip, another petal would fall
off
the rose.
And
with every petal,
it
was almost like you could hear
Jesus
and God the Father say,
"That
one
is
for cancer.
That one
is for palsy.
Thank you, Lord.
Muscular dystrophy.
polio.
This one's for polio. And then with every whip, they beat him 39 times. And again and again.
Over and over.
Over and over.
The flesh.
The flesh.
Would fall.
Would fall.
To the ground.
To the ground. They put a crown of thorns upon his head.
And they beat him.
And they beat him.
With the reed.
With the reed.
And they took.
And they took.
The once beautiful rose.
They took the once beautiful rose.
And they beat him.
And they beat
him. And they broke him.
And they broke him.
Down to nothing.
Down to nothing.
To where?
To where?
He was.
He was.
The broken.
The broken.
Bruised.
Bruised.
Rose.
Rose.
Of Sharon.
Of Sharon.
And they took.
And they took.
That rose.
That rose.
And they made him.
And they made him.
Carry.
Carry.
The cross.
The cross. And win. He couldn't make it. They said to get
someone
to help him carry the cross. And they made him carry that cross all the way to Golgotha, to Calvary. And they hung that rose on a cross suspended between heaven and earth. And that rose was still broken, but yet it was still on a tree. And there he was on that tree. And he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he cried, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he bowed his head. And he gave up the ghost. And there,
winter had come.
Winter had come.
The once beautiful rose.
And the once beautiful rose
had faded.
Had faded.
Away.
Away. I wonder what it must have been like.
When the rose.
When the rose.
Faded away.
Faded away.
When the creator.
When the creator.
Of the universe.
Of the universe.
Faded away.
Faded away.
The Bible says
the earth began to shake.
The veil of the temple,
and the veil of the temple
was
ripped
from the top,
to the bottom. To the bottom.
And it was so great that even the pagan Roman said,
surely.
This was
the rose. The rose.
The winter had come.
Winter had come.
And it seemed like.
And it seemed like.
There was no hope.
There was no hope.
Inside.
Inside.
And his friends.
And his friends.
Nicodemus.
Nicodemus.
And Joseph.
And Joseph.
Of Arimathea.
Of Arimathea.
They went to Pilate.
They went to Pilate.
They said, can we have the rose?
And said, can we have the rose?
Yeah. I can picture.
I can picture.
Pilate saying.
Pilate saying.
What do you want?
Why do you want?
A broken rose.
A broken rose.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Can't you see?
can't you see? It has faded away. And Joseph of Arimathea would have said, well, Pilate, sir, it may not mean anything to you that you have a broken rose, but to me, it means everything. And they took the rose off the cross, and one by one, they tried their best to pick up all the petals, and they took that rose. And they wrapped it
in linen cloth.
In linen cloth. And they took the broken rose.
And they buried it.
And they buried it.
In a garden.
In a garden. But then, on the dawning of the third day, the husbandman sent the servant to the garden, for winter was over and spring had come. And then that stone was rolled away. And the rose of Sharon came blooming forth once again. And he is alive forevermore. And the rose of Sharon will never fade away. The rose will bloom again. And will never fade away. I don't care what the government tries to do. The rose will never fade away. The rose will bloom and is in bloom and will never fade away. And tonight, the husbandman wants to give the rose to his bride. Preacher, who is his bride? He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To give the rose to you, my friend. He wants to give you that beautiful, lovely rose. That's why he said of himself, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever, forever, I said, forever and ever. That's why he said in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness.